I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 3 a.m. Tales of Terror.
What's wrong with you, bro?
What's wrong with you?
A lot. There's a lot wrong with me.
Oh, God. Okay, I know it's been a couple of weeks.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Since I could hold my head up high.
Yeah. Okay. You were sick.
You had COVID.
Yeah. And then I think I just wasn't feeling good, and I had a lot of homework. I had homework because it was the last week.
We also got busy.
We did get busy. It was just
a lot of family-oriented activities.
Literally. We had like 3 weeks of
back-to-back.
Back-to-back family, friends, stuff. Like, it was a whole thing. So, it was just a lot. Because we went to the zoo. That's what mm-hmm. it was. So, you had COVID, and then we went to the zoo.
Correct.
And, yeah, so it was a whole thing. So, anyways, we're back. And today we're going to tell you about Woodchester Mansion in England, Gloucestershire. I know I just said that really wrong. And then Highgate Cemetery, which is also in England, but it's in London. So we're going to England today. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Dad.
Okay. All right. We're going to start with Woodchester Mansion. Okay. Woodchester Mansion can be found in Woodchester Park near Nimsfield, Gloucestershire. I'm going to say that wrong because I don't remember how to say it.
Say it again?
Gloucestershire? Yeah, but that's not how you say it because they have a lot of, like, it's a lot of letters, but for, like, not a lot of syllables.
Gloucestershire, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways. It's a desolate mansion built on the spot where once another mansion stood. Although the house looks grand, it's far from finished on the inside. Woodchester Mansion, in the middle of beautiful lakes and nature, is perhaps England's most terrifying haunted house. The history. George Huntley was the original owner of the estate, which he bought in 1564. His plan was to create a deer park for hunting, and he constructed a small mansion to stay in while he was on a hunting trip. The expense of creating the park nearly bankrupted the Huntleys, and the mansion and its surroundings were sold to Sir Robert Ducie in 1603. The Ducie family decided to create a grand country house along with a magnificent landscaped park using the original deer park. The park was the first to be created. The country house was called Spring Park, and the construction was finished in 1750. This is when the Prince of Wales, Frederick, stayed over, and in 1788, it was visited by King George III. The Ducie family didn't use the mansion as their primary residence. They were looking for isolation in their holiday home. That might be why the location of the mansion is quite odd. The house itself is built halfway down the lengths of the valley, which reduces the dramatic scenery. Had it been built on a higher spot, the view would have been amazing. The steep sides of the valley also prevent the house from having any sunlight in most parts of the year. The estate was extensively re-landscaped prior to the visit of King George III. The Ducies wanted to create a more naturalistic park, so the new park removed the former formal aspect. The groups of small fish ponds were turned into a series of lakes, but also the house had a makeover a couple of times, like in 1840, when the second Earl of Ducie wanted further alterations to be done. These alterations cost a small fortune, and when the house needed some repairs, he simply couldn't afford them. He had to sell the property and found a buyer by the name of William Lee. Lee demolished the original house completely and started the construction of the Woodchester Mansion as we know it today.
Woodchester Mansion was constructed from 1858 to 1870, but all the work suddenly stopped when Lee died. His surviving family didn't like the design, which was a Gothic Revival style. They asked another architect, James Wilson, for a new design. He created a new, flamboyant, Italianate style, but the cost of rebuilding the house were too high for the family, and the house was abandoned for most of the time. In 1894, prior to a visit by Cardinal Vaughan, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Westminster, the drawing room was completely renovated, but once he left, the house was abandoned once again. In 1938, Wilson's granddaughters, Blanche and Beatrice, sold the house to a mental health charity named the Barnwood House Trust. They wanted to turn the mansion into a mental hospital, but this plan was shelved as well. During World War II, the estate was used as a camp for Canadian and American troops. They used it as a training location for the D-Day landing. During one exercise, a bridge over one of the lakes collapsed and several soldiers drowned. The bodies were brought back to the mansion. After the war, it was abandoned yet again, but locals made sure the house and the park didn't fall into total disrepair. A small area of the surrounding land was eventually purchased by the Stroud District Council, which leased it to a building restoration trust, the Woodchester Mansion Trust, in 1992. The National Trust owns the surrounding parkland, as well as several buildings like the gatehouse, a boathouse, several cottages, and an ice house, which is, for our younger listeners, an ice house is like a refrigerator.
Well, I didn't even know what that is. So, I mean, like, to me, like, it would just be like a cold room, like a big fridge.
No, it was literally, so ice houses were normally underground.
Oh, okay.
And they would literally bring gigantic blocks of ice. You would then put them in there, and it was like a giant refrigerator.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Because once you hit below the frost line of the ground, it stays a very modest, like normally 60 to 65 degrees, and then you put ice in it and kerplam. The first ghost stories were told long before Woodchester Mansion was ever built. People claim the land on which the mansion is built has been haunted for over 200 years. When the second Earl of Ducie threw a dinner party to celebrate his succession to earldom in 1840, the ghost of his father suddenly appeared, crashing the party. He demanded sitting at the head of the table. The second Earl had such a fright that he left the property shortly after. The mansion is indeed a scary place. It looks finished from the outside, but it's far from that on the inside. Ceilings and floors are missing. Windows are glassless, and walls are bare and unplastered. This, and the remoteness of the mansion, makes it ideal for paranormal investigations. Several mediums have sensed the presence of people in military uniforms inside the mansion. Often the sound of 1940s music is heard echoing throughout the corridors.
I think I'd be okay with 1940s music being played.
Some swing?
The most curious part of the house must be the chapel. William Lee insisted on having one in the house because he had recently converted to the Roman Catholic faith. Some people report the smell of freshly extinguished candles in the room, even though there are none around. Others claim to have seen a short man standing in one of the chapel doorways. He does nothing except for gazing up at the ornate windows with a concerned look on his face. Perhaps he was a stonemason while he was alive, concerned about the water penetration, which caused a lot of damage during the years of abandonment. He might also be the one throwing small stones at people at the chapel. The ghost of a tall man has been seen here as well on several occasions. The kitchen is also a paranormal hotspot with at least three ghosts in it. A phantom female voice has been heard singing an Irish lament in here by many. And the ghost of a young man is reported here often, too. He's crouched in a corner as if he's hiding from somebody. He might be hiding from the tall man, who also has been seen in the kitchen many times. He stands in the kitchen doorway and appears to be looking for someone. Those two ghosts have never manifest at the same time, which is a good thing because the young man's hiding place isn't that good at all. The ghost of a young girl has been seen while playfully skipping up and down the grand staircase. She doesn't react to the startled reactions of people who catch a glimpse of her. The ghost of a young woman has been seen and heard on the first floor. She appears to enjoy looking out from the window, gazing at visitors. Massive bangs from within the building are heard very often. There have been cases of poltergeist activity and apparitions have been seen. Mists have been seen throughout the building, and shadows tend to follow you around. In 1902, a vicar saw a strange apparition at the mansion's gate. A phantom horseman has also been seen on the mansion's drive.
The dog of the caretaker. Today's caretaker's dog seems to be very much aware of ghosts in the Woodchester mansion. It sometimes wags its tail to invisible people, and it would lick in the air, and the tongue would actually be touching something.
That would freak me the fuck out.
Just see a dog's tongue just...
Literally.
Yeah, just see a dog's tongue just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Visitors have collapsed and have been attacked by things they couldn't see. The ghost of an old woman has the nasty habit of attacking female visitors by grabbing them in the dark. A floating head has been seen in one of the bathrooms. People claim there is an elemental lurking in the cellar of the mansion. If you want to know what an elemental is, you should read about it in Leap Castle's story. The chapel might have been used for satanic rituals, and there's even a rumor that someone was murdered in the mansion, which might have chased the workmen away. Well, I mean, do you know what an elemental is? Okay, so normally they are...
I mean, like, I've heard of it before, but I don't know.
If you look at it through, like, a Druidic or, like, pagan thing, elementals are physical forms of nature that can be fire spirits, water spirits, earth spirits, things like that. Okay. So, they're normally elementals rise to protect forests or, like, locations, or when witches or wizards summon them or druids summon them to help protect areas and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And just normally, like, a flame elemental looks like a wisp, and it's like normally they're beautiful and they're fire dancing, and then they light you on fire.
Oh, nice.
Things like that.
Okay. I did not know. Okay. Woodchester Mansion today. The park is open to the public daily, and entering the park is free. Public toilets are provided near the mansion. The mansion itself has an entrance fee and is open from April to November. Woodchester Mansion is home to two rare colonies of bats. The park is loved by birds and deer. In 2012, a mutilated deer carcass was found in the gardens, which might have been the work of a big cat which hunts the grounds. The manor and the grounds have been used as a filming location for the second series of The Crown on Netflix. Be sure to visit the haunted Ancient Ram Inn and St. Brieville's Castle as well while in Gloucestershire. We've talked about the Ancient Ram Inn before, but I have not talked about St. Brieville's Castle, so I might have to do that one day. But I got my information for Woodchester Mansion from thelittlehouseofhorrors.com. And if you're out there and if you've ever been, we have an email that you can email us and let us know how your experience was.
I feel like with how old England is, everything is haunted.
Literally. Especially the old castles and stuff like that, too.
Well, it's like they say, you know, Europe is old. Mm-hmm. America is big.
Mm-hmm.
They get all their creepy haunted stuff because they're old and all the bullshit that went down, all the scary bad stuff that happened to people. America, we get all of our weird, gross, scary stuff because we are so big and vast.
Yeah.
That's why we have cryptids and they don't.
Right. Well, they have some.
Yeah, but it's not like cryptids.
Right.
It's not, hey, by the way, in the Appalachian Mountains, there's 30 cryptids that have over 1,000 sightings, folklore, and here's how you turn into said creatures, like a Wendigo, is through cannibalism and stuff like that. Yeah, they don't have that. They don't have...
I know we've talked about a couple of, cryptids and stuff from there, because, like, the Beast of Dartmoor I've done, and that's over there in Europe.
Yeah, but they have, like in total, if you took all of Europe together, their cryptid list is, like...
Oh, no, if you look...
It's, like, 10 or 15.
There's a map. Like, if you go on, like, cryptids wiki, there's a map, and it's, like... of the world, and you can see like where all of the cryptids are located, and it's a majority of them are over here, like so
because America is so large.
Yes. And scary.
Cuz like we have haunted stuff, but most of our hauntings are like, oh, this ghost is from like 1800s to now. Mm-hmm. Whereas in England, or in Europe in a general sense, mm-hmm. it's like, hey man, First Crusades, brother.
Yeah.
You know, we have ghosts that are 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
What's good?
Like Mothman.
Praise Mothman. Live, laugh, lurk.
Oh my God.
Mothman.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, so now we're going to talk about the Highgate Cemetery.
Yes, which is in London.
So London.
I don't know how far away we're really going from Woodchester Mansion.
I mean, according to us, everything's kind of close in England.
Yeah. There was a trend on TikTok for a while, and it was like, I'm
45 minutes away from London. I'm not close to London. It's like, yes, you are.
Yeah.
I drive 45 minutes to work every
literally.
Day.
And there were some like, oh, it's like, I miss my best friend. I can't see her. And it's like,
they're like 2 hours away.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody so comments are like cries or laughs in American. It's like,
yeah, it's like
that's a day trip.
My family lives 10 hours away. I go to see them once a month.
We literally took a day trip. We are in like Western North Carolina. We literally took a day trip, like what, five, six hours
to Tennessee?
Yeah, to Tennessee.
We left the house at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a 5-hour drive. Went there, then stayed there all day.
All day. And then drove back home.
And then I drove back home. We got home at like 12 or 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And went. It was like, okay, that was a good Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. And from us to Pigeon Forge is literally like 5 or 6 hours. So, and we just did that in a day. And where I lived with my parents and where I went to school, it's like 3 hours away. I used to drive there and back in the same day, 3 hours. Like, I'd have to go to school to grab something and then go back home.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people that don't do stuff like that.
No. No. Do I enjoy driving that much? Fuck no. But
when I was a contractor for Verizon, I would drive 7.5 hours on Monday.
Oh my God.
And then we'd have to drive 3 to 4 hours every day, whatever site we were working on.
Yeah.
And then on Thursdays, I would drive the 7.5 hours back home to be home for the weekend.
Yeah. It's only fun when you're driving that much if you end up getting a road buddy.
If you're the passenger princess and I do all the driving.
And if you get a road buddy too. Like if you're by yourself and you get like, you know, like a car where you just like, you go back and forth.
No.
Yes. Anybody who drives a long time knows what I'm talking about.
In the north of London, you'll find an impressive cemetery by the name Highgate Cemetery. The cemetery is divided into there's an eastern and a western part, by a street called Swain's Lane. Highgate Cemetery has had both flourishing and declining periods, and now serves as a popular tourist attraction. But at night, when all the tourists have left, the ghosts come out, and beware of the Highgate Vampire. In the early decades of the 1900s, London reached 1 million residents. It's a lot for that time.
It really is.
This caused a major crisis. Due to the high mortality rate, there was simply no space for the dead. At some point, unauthorized and illegal burials were performed, and the bodies were wrapped in cheap materials and buried against other human remains just a few feet deep. Most bodies were buried in narrow alleys between shops, taverns, and homes. The smell of these burial sites was horrible, and it jeopardized public health. Something needed to be done. The Parliament demanded for 7 new private cemeteries to be built. These cemeteries were to open in the countryside around the capital. These magnificent 7 were Kensal Green, West Norwood, Highgate Cemetery, Brompton, Nunhead, Abney Park, and Tower Hamlets.
Highgate Cemetery was located west of Swain's Lane on the former Ashurst Estate. The main gate is still there. Rights of burial were sold for either a limited period or in perpetuity. Soon, Highgate Cemetery became a fashionable place to bury one's loved ones. The Victorian attitude towards death and its presentation led to the creation of beautiful Gothic tombs and buildings. Buildings such as the Egyptian Avenue, an impressive structure consisting of 16 vaults, each containing 12 coffins on each side, entered through a massive arch, is one of them. Just about as impressive is the Circle of Lebanon. The circle was created using the earth, which belonged to an ancient cedar of Lebanon tree, which once stood in the garden of the former Ashurst estate. This circle consists of 36 vaults. And finally, there are the terrace catacombs. These catacombs have an impressive frontage and room for about 825 bodies in 55 vaults, with room for 15 coffins each. Apart from these large buildings, there are beautifully decorated graves at the cemetery. About 20 years after the opening, the cemetery had enough funds to extend the area by buying a large section at the east side of Swain's Lane. This side is now simply referred to as East. A tunnel beneath Swain's Lane connected the new cemetery with the older West Cemetery.
During the Victorian era, many wanted to be buried the Egyptian way, above ground. Because of this, catacombs and vaults were so popular back then, but regulations of that time required tombs to be enclosed in lead to prevent miasma, or decomposition fluids, from leaking. These sealed coffins were perfect for that cause, though something disturbing started happening to some of these. Due to decomposition, gases would build up inside the coffin. Because the gas couldn't get out, it could cause the coffin to explode. This was solved by drilling a hole into the coffin, placing a pipe inside, and lighting a match to burn off the decomposition gases.
I don't even want to imagine how the fuck that smelled.
That's a bio bomb.
Like, that is a little... oh my god.
Could you imagine being in a catacomb, being like, we're here to see great-great-grandpa. BAM! And it's lead. A lead bomb.
I just don't, it's the smell. Like for the, when they tried, you know, the drilling the hole in the coffin and then you're still decomposing. I don't know if, I guess maybe embalming wasn't really maybe big yet when they were back then doing all of the.
Probably not.
Because the reason that you embalm is because you drain the body of your fluid so that those gases don't build up. So.
Correct.
If you're, so obviously embalming wasn't a thing yet back then, because yikes. I just don't even want to imagine that smell. I've been around some dead bodies, not fresh. So I don't really know, like, the smell, like, but I don't want to. I'm good. I'm really good. I'm so good.
Highgate was one of the most popular cemeteries in London, and this meant that rich and famous Londoners wanted their final resting place to be here. On the west side of the cemetery, you'll find graves of Julius Beer, Charles Dickens' parents, younger brother and wife, he himself is buried at the Poet's Corner at Westminster Abbey, Michael Faraday, and George Michael. This side of the cemetery is full of trees, shrubbery, and wildflowers. Birds and small animals, such as foxes, love it here. The biggest funeral that took place in this part of the cemetery was the funeral of Tom Sayer, a famous bare-knuckled prize fighter. More than 10,000 mourners attended his funeral, with Lion, his own faithful dog, as a chief mourner. A statue of his dog guards his grave. Most famous on the east side of the cemetery is the grave of Karl Marx. The philosopher died in 1883. His tomb has suffered a great deal of vandalism, shocker, and has even been bombed twice in 1965 and 1970.
why? What did Karl Marx? I know that name, but like what?
Karl Marx?
Yeah. I don't remember like what he did. I mean, he's
the father of Marxism.
I don't know. You act like I paid attention in history class. We've been over this. I don't know.
Hold on. Let me not get him confused.
Like, I know the name. I just don't know, like, what he would have done to have his grave be vandalized and also bombed.
Well, Marxism, I believe he was a communist.
Did he write the Communist
Manifesto? He did.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. All right.
I wanted to make sure. I couldn't remember if he was with more socialism. Or, okay. No. So Marxism is, he wrote communists.
Okay.
He was the father of communists.
Okay.
So that's why his tomb was.
Got it. Yep. Makes sense. Knew the name, didn't know what he did. Okay. By the turn of the century, memorials became less ostentatious. When the First World War broke out, many of the gardeners and maintenance men were called up to fight. Despite this, the cemetery was kept in immaculate order. But the cemetery started losing income. Less expensive graves were bought, and more graves were abandoned as families died out or moved away. By 1956, the cemetery had to raise more income and sold off its stonemason's yard and the superintendent's house. The two chapels were closed that same year as well. Unfortunately, it was too late. In 1960, Highgate Cemetery was declared bankrupt. In the following years, the cemetery turned into a jungle, and people in the area claimed to have seen people in black cloaks roaming the graveyard at night. It started to look like a haunted place, and soon all kinds of ghost stories came to surface and even made it to the press. This is not, the way that this story is going, this is not surprising at all, that something like this turned into...
Literally.
So... There were reports of Satanists performing strange ceremonies and rituals, and people started seeing and hearing things. Movie studio Hammer used the abandoned site for filming their gothic horror movies. It's no wonder why people were captivated by the supernatural. The Hampstead and Highgate Express started to receive letters from frightened readers claiming they had seen spooky things around the cemetery. One man whose car broke down near the cemetery saw a frightful apparition with red glowing eyes gazing at him from the gate. Another man was attacked by a creature that came out of the cemetery wall as he walked by. The creature dissolved when a car drove by, blinding it with its headlights.
I wonder if Aleister Crowley ever messed around the cemetery. You know who Aleister Crowley is.
He wrote the Satanic Bible.
Correct.
Correct? Okay.
Just curious.
I know.
That's why I find it hilarious when I hear everybody, man, Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne is such a good song. And I'm like,
poor Adam. Wasn't it Adam that loves that song? Or who was it that loves that song?
No, it was Jonah and Eric.
Okay.
They were both singing it. And I was like, do you guys know who Mr. Crowley is? No. Like, Aleister Crowley, the man who wrote the Satanic Bible, leader of the Crowley occultist, instantly changed the channel.
Well,
that's why the main lyric is, Mr. Crowley, what went down in your head? Because,
yeah,
you know, oh, the sketchy shit he did.
Literally.
All right. Other supernatural sightings at the Highgate Cemetery are spectral cyclists who have been seen riding in front of the gates. A tall man wearing a top hat and the shrouded figure. A morose female specter who only looks up to the sky, ignoring everybody around her. If one would approach her, she would vanish and reappear a little further away, doing the exact same thing. Many have also seen the ghost of a mad old woman. Her long gray hair blows behind her as she races amongst the graves looking for her children. People say she murdered them in a fit of rage. The ghost of a woman in white, as well as the ghost of a nun, have also been spotted. A figure wading into a pond and a pale gliding form are seen often as well. People also claim to have heard heart-stopping banshee wails, whispers, bells ringing, and footsteps. And then there is the Highgate Vampire. The Highgate Vampire is said to have been a medieval nobleman who practiced black magic in Romania, of course. After his death, his followers relocated his coffin from the European continent to England and buried him on the place where later the cemetery was located. He was awoken by the satanic rituals, and he now roams the cemetery grounds, most likely feeding on foxes. The vampire is a tall, dark figure who makes his presence known by a sudden drop of temperature. Watches and clocks stop when he's around. When people got wind of the news that a vampire was haunting Highgate Cemetery, a real vampire hunt arose.
I'm sorry, but I don't like vampires. I'm just not like, I don't know. Like, I'm not, I've never been into vampires. I've never watched the fucking, I mean, I have seen Twilight, but I don't.
Those aren't even good movies. Or books.
True Blood, any of those shows. And I'm just not a vampire person. I'm not. And so it's just funny to me. Like, I don't know. Like, he was, he was awoken by the satanic rituals. Come on now. I just don't, that's where I draw the line at my, like, disbelief of.
He's Dragul. Where's Florin? He's a Romanian vampire. We can ask him.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me. That's where I draw my line is vampires. I'm like, I don't know. Anyways, self-proclaimed vampire hunters wandered the cemetery in the dead of night. Tombs were opened and bodies were mutilated with wooden stakes driven through their chests. Some were even decapitated. These corpses were often removed from their graves and recovered in strange places, often terrifying the locals. Like that time, a man found a decapitated corpse behind his car windshield. It was during this time that two magicians started to have an obsessive urge to find and slay the vampire. On December 24th, 1969, magician David Ferrant saw a gray figure when passing the cemetery. He was convinced this was the Highgate Vampire. His story was picked up by another magician, Sean Manchester, who claimed he'd single-handedly put a stop to this creature. The rivalry between the two men grew bigger and bigger. On Friday, March 13th, 1970, Sean Manchester officially decided to have a massive vampire hunt. Many people answered his call. Despite police efforts to control the mob, they swarmed over gates and walls into the locked cemetery. The grave of the vampire was never found, but that didn't mean the men gave up. Sometime later, on August 1st, 1970, the charred and headless remains of a woman's body were found not far from the catacombs. A few nights later, Ferrant was found by the police in the churchyard beside Highgate Cemetery, carrying a wooden stake and a crucifix. He was arrested, but when his case came to court, he was let go. Rumors began to spread that Ferrant and Manchester would meet in what was called the Magician's Duel on Parliament Hill Friday, April 13th, 1973, which never occurred. Ferrant was jailed again in 1974 for damaging memorials and interfering with dead remains in Highgate Cemetery. He insisted this was caused by the Satanist. The feud between the two men continued for decades until Ferrant's death in April of 2019. And the vampire? Well, he's still out there. I'm dun, trying dun. So hard.
The vampires are out there, man. Highgate Cemetery is a popular tourist attraction, even though it's a little hard to reach. An access fee is required. The money is used for restoration and preservation of the cemetery. The West Cemetery is only accessible if you take a guided tour. Taking pictures is no problem, but for private use only. Making videos during the tours is not as not allowed, as well as using a tripod.
I feel like that makes sense. Like,
well, you know.
Expensive, more expensive equipment and stuff like that. But got my information for Highgate Cemetery also from thelittlehouseofhorrors.com. So, anyways, other than the vampires that I just have a hard time believing in, is that those are the stories that we have. I quite enjoyed them. So, I hope you did too. And hopefully, maybe, we'll see you next week. We're going to the Renaissance Festival next Saturday. So, we'll see. Hopefully that goes well. So
we're going to have a great time.
Yes. We're going with like 10 people. So. Anyways, that's all I have for you this week, and hopefully we'll see you next week. If not, we'll see you when we see you. Have a good day.
Later.
Bye. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the 3 a.m. podcast page. Podcast is plural. You can find pictures and updates on both.
We also now have a Patreon account where you can get ad-free episodes for just $2 a month for both 3 a.m. Tales of Terror and 3 a.m. Crime Time.
If you have any questions or story ideas for us, you can send them to the 3 a.m. podcast page at gmail.com. All of this information will be in the show notes.
Well, that's all we have for you this week. We hope you enjoyed our tales. And remember,
stay terrified.